How do you preach after worship like this? There was a time when there was jazz music, and there was a time when there was Boys to Men, and now it is Shofar Hermanus. I mean, this band. Can we just give God a clap? And we give God the honor, but we celebrate the band for bringing their gifts and activate their faith for the benefit of the body. And for the gentleman there at the back helping us, thanks for bringing your gift and affecting your faith so that all of us can experience a God through multimedia. Amen? And so we all have a gift, and God is busy with all of us in one way or another. So my name is Werner, and I have been here 3 weeks now. And every time when I come to church, well, it's only three times now, there's another thing that pops up about this church that blows me away. This morning it was the saxophone. Can you believe it? Huh? That was so beautiful. So if you are new around here, so am I. And I think you joined a good church. Amen. 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 Yes. As a congregation, we are preaching through the armor that is found in Ephesians 6. And it's actually been a great journey for us, preaching. Andres and myself have been taking turns moving through the pieces of armor. And last week, Andres spoke about the shoes of the preparation of the gospel. And I don't know if you remembered, and if you were not here, I got a fright for a moment because I saw him coming up barefoot. Lisa, did you for a moment? Did you knew he was going to do that? You're like, what is he doing? But then I saw the shoes here, and I'm like, okay, I know what this message is about. And so he was barefoot, and at one stage, he illustrated the taking of the shoes and putting it on. And it is true for each part of this armor. Scripture says, take it up, put it on, right? And as Andres was putting on the shoes, I was reminded for myself, I asked myself, am I intentional by putting on the shoes of the readiness of the gospel? Because if I'm not intentional and the Spirit whispers to me, I might not hear and miss an opportunity to share the faith with someone. Amen? And so this morning, we are going to the shield of faith. Shield of faith. Sometimes in life, we feel like a little boat on a massive ocean, and it's just waves and winds everywhere, and that feeling we get of being overwhelmed when things are out of our control and we realize how big the world is and how small we are, or how big the ocean is and how small this little boat is, then it is when we discover the shield of faith, or whether we have one or where to locate it. And we're going to do that this morning. Let me read for us in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The purpose of the armor is to stand against the schemes of the devil, right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. That's where we finished last week. Now we're carrying on. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, the Bible is incredible in using analogies and parables so that we can understand deeper truths of the kingdom of God. All right. So when Jesus is telling a parable, he's speaking the language of the heart. When he's using an analogy, the Apostle Paul here, he's trying, even if you've never been in the army, he's trying to make you imagine, okay, if I was in the army, all right, there'd be a shield. And so by taking you through the process, he is helping you emotionally and intellectually to grasp something that if you look deep, it points you to a truth in the kingdom. And what that means for us is we should open our hearts to parables so that the full purpose of the parable can hit our hearts. But we should always remember that the shield or the helmet, it is not the analogy that should be elevated, but that which it points to, right? For example, after this service, don't go and cut out a shield out of wood and put it on your front door. And because you've put a piece of wood on your door, now you are protected. That's not the point of it, all right? There's a deeper thing that if we take this idea of a shield, it leads us to the depth of the kingdom reality, and that's what we are after, right? It is like a shield. It is not a shield. Are you with me? All right. So let's get to this analogy, and let's see what is the essence of this shield so that we can apply it to our daily life. Now, we have to ask, what is faith? Right? Now, that is a sermon series in its own, but let's just do a short introduction. Faith can be summed up in 6 words. It will be sufficient. Most people maybe will agree. Faith is reliance upon and trust in God. Reliance upon and trust in God. Right? So, for example, if you are relying on and trusting in God, you read His Word. The Bible says in such a situation, do that. Everyone else says in a situation like this, do this. If you have reliance upon and trust in God, you follow Him in the matter. That is faith. Okay? Now, faith can be explained in many ways, but let's just use 2 this morning. The first part I want to say, or I want to address, is saving faith. Okay? There's a moment, a time, a situation in your life where you come to Christ and saving happens to your heart, right? We find this in Romans 10. It says, because you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe, there's a faith, in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses. And we find also, in Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay, so we get this idea of saving faith. There's a moment or a day or a time in your life, maybe you're not sure whether you gave your life to God in that moment, that hour, or whether it was in a week, or a time where you remembered you were oppressed and you found God. But nevertheless, a great exchange happened, and you turned your heart towards God, and you placed your faith in Him. Saving faith. Okay, you relied and trust upon what Jesus did and said, and no longer in your own way. And the moment you came to Him and said, Lord, I bring all my efforts, all my sin, and now I'm going to rely on what You did in my place, and I give my life to You, you become His. Saving faith. Saving faith. But what the Apostle Paul is talking about here goes beyond saving faith, because he talks about picking up a shield of faith, something that you possess, but you can have it laid down. You can have it in the boot of your car. And now he reminds his subjects, his people, he says, but remember to take up the shield of faith, don't leave it. Because he's not talking about you being saved every time you remember the shield of faith. He is leading you to having a functional faith. And a functional faith is the evidence of your saving faith expressed as you live day by day in the decisions you make. And what the Apostle Paul says is, remember to take up the shield of faith that you may live in your decisions as a man that has saving faith. All right. There's an extension beyond just getting. Are you with me this morning? Vine at her and say yes. Ons verstaan in Mpumalanga, right? Now, you get functional faith, for example, in a verse like Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Once again, there's a fork in the road. God says, it is pleasing to me if you handle this matter in this way. The world says, no, but there's great gain in handling this way. But now, even though I cannot see where this will lead if I trust God or how it will affect me in a positive way, by faith I say, Lord, I will follow your word and your will. Now I have a functional faith. I am acting in faith. All right. So it is the will of God that you worship him this morning, but when you go to work tomorrow, that you have a functional faith. Amen. Right, functional faith. And the shield of faith is here to help us function in faith. And we're going to talk about that. Well, Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Why? Why? Because as God leads us to trust in him, he shows us what pleases him. All right? Love your wife. And the world says, no, man, this other woman, you know, you should be happy. You've heard that one, right? You should be happy. So maybe it's a time to divorce your wife, and it's time for you to be happy, right? Now God says no. Everyone at church says no. When you, in front of the worship leader, you sense God say no. God is clearly leading you, love your wife, all right? Now, when you have a functioning faith, you say, Lord, forgive me for thinking such evil thoughts. I am here committed to my marriage to love you. And you walk in functional faith, and so you please him. If there's no faith, you cannot please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because as he speaks, it is faith that causes us to function our lives after him. And so we don't have it, we go a different way. It is impossible with faith, without faith, to please God. Are you with me? Right. Now, when the scripture speaks about a shield of faith, it's talking about a very specific shield. It's the Therion shield, which we get on the picture there, which is not the one the guy in Gladiator had, right? Which was a round one, which was also a popular shield because it was a more mobile shield. You could run like this with a smaller shield. You know what Captain America does with his, like, you know, it's a weapon in itself as well. I mean, I'm sure you can hit a burglar with that thing, but its purpose is not hitting, okay? Its purpose is this: to position your body in a way so that if you do it just right, there's nothing sticking out. All right, so that when the enemy fires darts, flaming darts, which were arrows dipped in some kind of tar, and sometimes there's leather on to make it sticky, set on fire, hundreds of those coming. And when you sit like this, some will miss you and some will hit you, but that shield would be able to protect you from a flaming arrow. Are you with me? Now, with the smaller one, you might be better in hand-to-hand battle, but the purpose of that was something different. It was to stand against the arrows coming, all right? So our archers will shoot from the back, and they're ones who will get close to one another, but all our foot shoulders will protect themselves. At one stage, they might toss that thing and engage in battle so they can have two hands for fighting, all right? Now, if you think about how this relates to the shoes of the readiness of the gospel, it gives us a beautiful picture. So some of the people, I love Second World War, World War II stories. Is there anyone else like me? Am I the only freak? Oh, okay. Just put their hands up. I just want to see who I should say yes for coffee and stuff. Okay, right. Okay, awesome. Great. So in North Africa, it was a General Rommel. Was he the one that was in charge there? Who's the, from some people say yes. So the one guy was called, his surname was the, no, surname, his nickname was the Desert Rat, right, from Germany. He was very good in the desert. And the opposition, what they did is they actually slept with their boots because they were moving so fast. If the commander said, go, you don't have time to look for a shoe, maybe grab your friend's shoe, put the wrong one on. There's no time for that. You sleep with your shoes, and stinky feet is not an issue in wartime, okay? keeping your head on is the issue. And so you always had your shoes on so that you, within 1 minute, can report for duty and be at disposal of your commander. Right. Now, if we read it into this, let's say we are always ready to move. Once we move, if we are not protected in our moving, we will move quickly, but the battle will end shortly after the first dart hits you, right? So the shield of faith is what keeps you in the battle, advancing day after day, week after week. You are in the battle because you are protected. You are ready by your shoes, your willing heart, Lord, I'm here, and you are protected as you put your body behind that shield. It's very important for us to find out what that is and how it works today and tomorrow in our lives. The purpose of the shield is to protect against the fiery darts of the enemy. So, where is Andres right now? Kiddies Church. Why? We are building a shield around the children of this church to protect them. And that's why children and ministering to them are of a high importance in this congregation. Because it is not my salary that can protect my kid. And it is not the clothes they wear or where I buy food for them that will protect them in the long run. It is not to which school they go that will protect them. It's a shield of faith. And so right now we are building in this congregation from the bottom up so that we are protected from the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen. Now, we're going to look at one more scripture. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. Who said, "Let us go to the other side"? Jesus. Get into the boat. Instruction of the commander. And the storm hits. Is there times in your life where Christ will lead you into a storm? Yes, there is such times. Don't let a prosperity gospel tell you something different. There's times when you're going to have to brace. Amen? There will be those times. And godly maturity and wisdom is this. If you know whether you are taking shots because you are obeying God so that you can continue, or whether you are taking shots because you are in sin. And you repent of your sin. You open your heart. You say, "Lord, forgive me." And then often those shots, they stop. All right? But there is times on our mission, in our obedience, in this world, where there will be storms as we go on course. What do we need? A shield of faith. Amen? And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Two questions was asked in those passage, in this scripture, verse 25, and they're both very important. The first thing Jesus shows us is that our faith can be unactivated. So what does he ask them? Where is your faith? Okay, this moment he doesn't say you've got no faith, you've got little faith, you don't cross the bar. In fact, he says if you've got a small little bit of faith, even like a mustard seed, I can work with that. But what he's asking them is, where is it? Okay? And in a sense, what that asks us this morning is your faith activated? If not, where is it? So that God can help us fit it on, take it up, and advance. Does that make sense? They ask a stunning question, which breaks open a lot for us this morning. He said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and they marveled and they say, who then is this? Why is this important? Because there you find the shield. Who is this? It is he who fed the 5,000. It is he who raised the widow's son. It is he, they will now know, who would die and be raised. It is he. He is the one. Where is your face? Who are you? Are you the one? Yes. The shield of faith is not supposed to be a prop. Our shield of faith is a person. Jesus Christ that gets fitted on us. Put on Christ. Who then is this? My shield. So the functional faith needs a taking up. So we see it in Luke 8, verse 25. Where is your faith? And in Ephesians 6, verse 16, we see in all circumstances, take up. That means you can have a saving faith, but it can be that as it goes with us as human, that your faith is stored away and not fitted unto you. It's not taken up. And what the Holy Spirit is teaching us this morning as we are working through this is that a functional faith, a faith that is ready to obey and move, is a faith that is taken up. It is a functional faith. But it is not a psych up. It is not, oh, we're going to do it, and then we storm, because people get psyched up for the wrong reasons. It is a faith that is placed in Christ that covers us from head to toe, from left to right. Are you with me this morning? Now, let's do one or two examples. We're talking about a functional faith. So you read the word, let's say maybe it's your first time. Can we just celebrate those that are here for the first time? Let's give them a clap. Took a step of faith. And I'll tell you why. Who was the one that invited or invites someone to a new church where they know no one for the first time? It is the Holy Spirit. Hey, take courage, go there. The dart is on the way. Don't go, they will judge you. If you are here, there was a taking up of some sort. The one voice said, don't go, they'll judge you. They knew it's going to freak you out. The other one said, no, take courage, go, and here you are. Because you had, in some sense this morning, it might be a small victory, you had functional faith. Here you are. And now something is happening. You took a step. Are you with me? You had a functional faith. You and your friend, you are in a great conflict. There's words being said. Your hearts are hardened. And you wake up in the night and you hear clearly in your heart the Holy Spirit saying, go to your friend. Say that you're sorry. Repent. Be humble. Humble yourself before your friend. And for a moment, you're like, you see it. You see it. That's what I should do. And then soon after that, don't do that. Because if you do that, you will prove to him that he was right all along and you were wrong. Niemand trap op jou nie. Right? And then you are reminded of the Savior and what he did. Who then is this? Who humbled himself even to the point of death for you. And you say, Lord, I don't know if this relationship is going to heal or not. I don't know if this will be restored or whether he will think I'm crazy for apologizing, but I hear the Spirit and I will do it. What do? You dress yourself up with your shield and you go. You phone that person, you go humbly. And you don't say, yeah, but Yvette, I was wrong, but it's also, you just say, I am sorry that I hurt you. Why can you do it? Why can you open yourself for rejection again? You have a shield. Shield of faith. You obeyed because you had a functional faith, which means this sermon matters directly after the service and continues tomorrow when you go to work. Are you with me? You wake up feeling downcast because you've been praying for that family member so long, and this morning this morning, it's just one of those where you just feel broken. You just feel, but Lord, you're actually mad. You said, Lord, I have been praying many years, and to read this insult again, it just breaks me. And the arrow is on the way, the dart. Yeah, you see, he doesn't care about you and your prayers. Might as well just give up. And something, someone speaks in your heart, just endure. Just endure. And you are reminded that he endured all the way for you. And you say, Lord, I feel so downcast, but I am reminded you did not give up on me, my intercessor, the one. So I will not give up on my dad. I will not give up on that person. And you start to pray, and it's 3 minutes in, and that feeling of depression fell off. Why? You just extinguished the dart. Because you acted, even you could only see this, you took a step of functional faith. Amen? Functional faith means taking up and taking that first step. So one more example. Anxiety as a parent for your child. And you can't help it. I know, because I'm also a dad of young children. But as your children do their things, you compare. You compare other children there. You like, and before you find yourself, you are so overwhelmed with a responsibility to make life happen for your child because you have taken the place of God. And the Spirit whispers to you, that is my child. And you are the parent. And so you love that child. What that child needs is not a new this or a new that. Just needs a parent that's going to love them today. Leave the rest to me. And you say, okay, Lord, I will trust you. And it's even just a prayer at that moment and the anxiety lifts. Why? You are exercising a functional faith. The shield of faith. One step. One step. What am I preaching at this morning? What do I want for myself? A functional faith and a congregation full of individuals with a functional faith that matters in our lives and those around us. Does that make sense? I've got one more picture for you before we finish off. Those shields works very well when they're used like this. Look around you. You are positioned for safety. But you're also positioned to advance together. Okay. So I honor you if you are here for your first time. I also honor you if you are here for your 400th time. Stay locked in. Because God is at work. Amen. Amen. Taking up your shield of faith, I'm wrapping up. Having the words and the works of Jesus in front of you like a shield, like a shield. Instructing you as you live for God, extinguishing every lie in opposition. Let's stand up in this place this morning. As you are standing up, I want to invite you to think of a step of obedience or an action that God has been probing you with, that you maybe heard in your heart or read in scripture, or maybe you felt it and then someone else also said it. Was there anything like that? Because you are here this morning because God is training you to take up that shield. And don't worry about every arrow on every person and every battle ever fought. Just that one thing. Because a functional faith picks up momentum as it moves. We grow in our trust and reliance upon God. So just open your heart for a moment, as we did in the beginning when we were singing together. Say, Lord, what... If you're looking into my life and my heart, as you look across the plains of my life, What is my next step? What do you want me to do? I am here to pick up, to activate faith in me, or faith on me, faith in Christ, which is before me like a shield, where I will make decisions, even if in short term I cannot see any benefit for me. In fact, doing the opposite brings me more benefit. I will trust and rely on you and take that beautiful first step, hiding behind the shield. Oh, we worship you this morning, Jesus. Minister to us, Lord. Thank you for not giving up on us, Jesus, for going all the way. There was no shield to cover you. When they beat your body to pieces and the curses of the world fell on you, you took every shot for our eternal redemption. What a shield we have. Only in a small way we can follow in your footsteps. Yet we partake. Walking with our shields as the fiery darts falls on us until that one day when there will be no more darts coming our way. They will be gone forever. Until then, shields up, locked in, we will walk one step of obedience at a time. Release faith over your people. These are your people, Lord. You love them very dearly. Just want to pray with people this morning. If you are here and you just need saving faith, it is a start for you. While every eye is closed, just lift up your hand nice and high. I'm going to pray for you where you are. Just put your hand up. Say, that's me. A starting of my journey. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. I'm seeing and I'm acknowledging. No one else is seeing. And Lord, as hands are up, you take that hand and you bring salvation to that heart right now. Let's just pray together as a congregation. Lord Jesus, I come to you, my shield forever, my efforts, my life can never protect me. So I fall on you. Here is my life. Take my life, give me yours. Wash my sin away. And help me on the way I should go. I commit to you to have faith in you, to trust and rely on you. Starting today, you are my God, and I am your son or daughter. And then I also want to pray. If you know, Let's do this together this morning. Let's take action. If you know that there is a clear step that you must take and you just want to put your faith together with everyone, put your hand up. That's me. I've got a step I have to take. Yeah, thank you for those hands. Just take it. This is maybe just the first step of action. Just put that hand up. Keep it up. It's just for you and having a sense of we are doing this together. Lord, you know every step every person has to take. Help your children. Be a shield for them as they move forward. And some of the darts might be insults. Some of the darts might be rejection. Yet they are received and loved by the King of the world. Take your next step by faith in Christ. You can lower your hand. What I want us to do is to take a seat. We're going to finish off in 3 minutes. And I want you to turn to someone and just say, what is God saying to you this morning? I'm giving you 3 minutes. What is God saying to you this morning? If you are alone, if you are a member here and you've been around here and someone is alone, won't you just move your chair and make sure everyone has someone? Very easy question. Just what is happening on your heart this morning? Don't worry about theological words, okay? Don't worry about that. Just what is happening on your heart this morning? Awesome, everyone. I'm going to formally dismiss the meeting, but you are welcome to sit a while longer and connect with the person if you are having a great chat. If you came in a little bit late and you are new around here and we could not give you a gift, please go to the Connect table. We'd like to give you a gift and introduce you to the rest of the family by inviting you to a small group. God bless you. I'm just going to finish in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are working with us this morning, and each of us will take our next step as you lead us. We worship you. Amen. Have a great week. Have a great chat and have coffee.